Happy Friday and welcome back to another episode of The Trading Desk. My name is Joshua Thanos and this is...
Jason Main. Welcome back this evening, guys. How are we doing?
Hey, so last week we had a fun show. We actually had a contest as well, which we will be announcing the winner at the end of this show. So stay tuned to see if you won a very special watch roll branded by Watchbox. So, before we get started, I want to go ahead and talk about one thing real quick. We have a new episode or a new series called The Classroom, which we finished up the first season of last night with a live show. We're going to have the second season, and that's going to start...
September.
All right, where we have some new content. In fact, there will be a new... a new teacher in the classroom. And there you go. There's my boy band picture. Oh, God, it's terrible. So I will be doing an episode of The Classroom as well. What will I talk about? Who knows? I don't even know yet. But go ahead and tune into that. That series has been really, really good. It's scripted and well-produced, unlike this show. Right?
The exact opposite. They put all of the production quality into that show.
That's right.
And we shoot a little bit more off the cuff on this one.
But absolutely.
Both are fun. I caught the end of the last one, and it was cool to see all three guys in one table, kind of live, just kind of shooting it.
Very knowledgeable individuals, that's for sure.
Very cool.
One other thing is that there's also, now you can listen to, you can watch this show on YouTube, or you can listen to it as a podcast now. It's on Spotify. Is it on iTunes yet? It is on iTunes, so you can listen to it on iTunes or on Spotify. So if you don't want to look at our faces, we don't blame you. You can listen to us instead.
So multimedia celebrities is what you're saying. Soon to be.
That's not what I said, but all right.
That's what I heard. Stardom on multi-fronts. There we go.
Okay, cool, man. All right, let's get started as we always do with a wrist shot. Jay, what do you got?
Today, you will notice my 114060 looks a little bit different. And I put it on this rubber B 4 or 5 days ago, and it's pretty comfortable, actually. I like the way this strap fits. It's on just a generic rubber B buckle, which is nice because I can beat it up and it doesn't matter. But it sits in the right hole. It's pretty good. It's a nice, comfortable kind of weekend look. I don't know. To me, this watch, the 114060 non-date ceramic, is the perfect bracelet watch, so I don't know that this rubber B will stay on here for too long. But for right now, I'm enjoying it. It's kind of a cool weekend look.
You got it on the Tang, you said, right?
Yeah, it's just on the rubber B Tang.
Yeah, I prefer...
I like this watch
I on prefer if we're going to change the... the rubber B on, I prefer the one that goes on the clasp, but that's not bad. I guess that's easier, right?
Fair enough. This is easier. You don't have to switch out your buckle off the bracelet. I can also type on a keyboard without having to worry about messing my buckle up too much. But yeah, this will be back on a bracelet probably.
Question
next week.
For you. Do you take your watch off during the day when you're typing, like you said?
It depends. Sometimes, if I have like a very email intensive type of day, then maybe I will. It's actually pretty common in the office. A lot of guys do that.
I do.
Always. If I'm running around shipping stuff and doing that kind of phone call stuff, but if it's a lot of typing, then yeah, I will.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way, I guess, with this watch, which here, let's go ahead and get a wrist shot here, guys. And for those listening on the podcast, this is a Bell & Ross BR123. It's a Heritage Sport. So it's their round case that's not super normal or super common that you see with Bell & Ross. It's like a pilot-style watch. Does not have a screw-down crown, which is a little upsetting to me, but it's I'll deal with it. It's a time and date, center seconds, lots of lume. It's like a nice alternative to a Panerai, in my opinion. If the Panerais are too thick for you, but you want a watch that's like round, same idea with a lot of lume, you can go for this model. It's not bad. And $3,100 retail, and you can obviously get it for less pre-owned. Get it for like $2,000 pre-owned or less. It's not a bad watch.
I mean, in regards to it has a clasp too. Pretty much the same kind of militaristic look.
Yeah.
Then yes.
There you go. And this one has a Tang buckle, so the soft rubber strap. So yeah, I can type with this no problems, but I tend to take it off during the day. I'm guessing probably most guys do the same.
It's funny that since I guess it might be a subconscious thing, but now that I know that this is just on a generic buckle, I just bang it up,
you don't
care.
But
yeah, I don't know if that's just me or...
I understand.
Anyways, Rubber B for the money, I think they're pretty good.
Everest, Rubber B. Is there another company that does aftermarket rubber shops?
Horace does some Panerai stuff and some AP stuff and Hublot now, I think.
Sure.
For me, Rubber B, the fit and finish, and I've had an Everest also. The Rubber Bs, to me, are superior.
Yeah.
I like them a little bit better.
Well, the one that you gave me for my Yachtmaster, was that Rubber B?
Yeah, it was the same strap as this, but with a red line.
Right, to match the red hand.
Right, and nice I have a Polar 42. that I'm supposed to be getting, and I will be ordering the rubber band orange for that, which is kind of cool.
Sweet. Oh, that's going to be amazing, dude. You know what? I've been looking at those the Explorer 2s, the 42 millimeters. I'm liking them more and more.
Yeah, I'm sold on it.
They're getting more interesting to me.
Waiting anxiously.
All right, cool. So so there you go. Wrist checks are done. Next segment is this or that. So this week, Jason, you went first.
I did.
You picked the watch, so why don't you start?
Yeah, let's do it. So here, let's go ahead and pull in on this guy.
Oh,
actually, you have the watch here.
There you go.
We both do.
So what was your thoughts in picking this watch?
I've always kind of been drawn to this piece. This is a...
What is it?
This particular model is the Q207857.
So it's a Jaeger LeCoultre JLC?
Yeah, JLC. This particular piece is the Deep Sea Vintage. So it's not a true reissue. This is a 2012 watch. It was a JLC boutique exclusive. It's basically like JLC's reimagining of what a vintage chrono would look like. I mean, beautiful piece, chrono, modern movement, 65-hour power reserve. I love the double chrono register. Really nice kind of clean case back, special edition you see there, the diver.
Is that a screw-down crown?
This particular, it is 100 meters. You know what? I'm not sure if it's
Why don't you check it? Because it if it doesn't have a screw-down crown, you should not have a diver on the back.
It's also on a leather strap, so I'm not going to call it a true diver. It's a vintage-inspired diver.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, it's a gorgeous piece. You can see here the faux patina. It's just kind of a vintage reimagination of what a dive watch should look like.
What's the size?
Similar. It's actually technically 40.5, but it's listed as 41.
Looks bigger.
It wears really well. I think it's a great size. It's handsome. I think it's a fantastic alternative to like your the Breitling 46, which is too big, but has this kind of look, and obviously way better movement.
Well, the Transocean you're talking about?
Yeah, the Transocean 46 has
a million times better than that.
Understood, but similar type of vintage dive look with the straight lugs and the bezel.
Was rotating bezel?
It is, yeah. Very pretty watch.
Have I seen that?
So that was my pick, and one of the reasons why I've always kind of...
Oh, no, it's not a rotating bezel.
Oh, is it fixed? One of the reasons why I've always gravitated towards that is I think this is kind of one of the first watches that truly like inspired that like sub vintage look, right? So now you have like the Black Bays and the 58s and the Orises and all, you know, even Longines and Hamilton, all these companies coming out with like the faux patina, the vintage inspired dive watch. Yeah. This came back all the way in 2012, like before that was like a cool thing. So it really is one of those watches that to me has kind of a story and shows like it was forward thinking and kind of set a market.
Sure.
So it's kind of cool to me. And it has like this very dark granular dial that when you catch it in the right light, it really shines. I've always liked that watch.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's a nice watch actually. I have about a 7-inch wrist, guys, so you can kind of see how it wears. It's not too thick. It's very comfortable. Actually, it wears almost exactly the way as my Bell & Ross, which they also make a chrono also. So for, you know, probably a quarter of the price, you can pick that up. But obviously, you don't get a great in-house movement from a company like Jaeger LeCoultre. All right, cool. So 40, you said 40.5, like a 41?
Yeah,
it's 41. More like a 42 on my wrist, at least. All right, guys. So if you like that watch, go ahead and vote for Jason's. But I think I have something that might beat it. All right, from a manufacturer that's not, you know, quite as well known for making really good movements. And in fact, this is a modified 7750. But here we go. Let's see if we can get a close shot of that. So this is the IWC GST Perpetual Chrono Calendar, right? Perpetual Calendar Chrono. This one is one a little bit rarer than some of the others you might see because they've made a bunch of these. I think the GST Perpetual Calendar Chronos were around, I think, 2001 to 2005, 2001 to 2004. So, you know, somewhat of a short run, but IWC does not skimp on production. So they've made a lot of these, and you'll see them around, but you don't see very many in full titanium, which, let's see if we can back up on the camera a little bit. And you can see it's a full, not a brush, but a matte finish, sandblast finish is the word I'm looking for. So full sandblast finish. The other thing that I like about this watch is that every link is removable on the bracelet, and this bracelet looks very similar to bracelet from another very, very, very expensive steel sport watch that you might see, which is a Patek Nautilus. So it's very similar to the Patek Nautilus. It's very comfortable. It's a 43 millimeter. Again, it's a perpetual calendar chrono, and pre-owned, you're going to pick it up for about the same price as the JLC. Much thicker, You can see here, guys. You don't even have to really zoom in for that. You can see it. There you go. So much thicker watch. I think it's 16 millimeters thick, 43 millimeters. But it wears on the wrist very similar to that JLC, which is a 40-41. The lugs camfer very nicely. The bracelet integrates perfectly. The dial is really nice. You're going to have like that same kind of granular black dial with white indices and then yellow accents, which I think is really funky too. So, I mean, you don't think of a perpetual calendar chrono as being a sport watch. This has a screw-down crown, right? I believe it's 100 meters water-resistant, but it does have a screw-down crown. It's a chrono, so I wouldn't really take it too deep in the water as it is. But it's a sporty perpetual calendar chrono. I mean, you don't really see very many of those, right?
It is cool in the fact that it's different than your normal kind of perpetual calendar. The only thing for me, like, that dial is very busy.
Sure.
But you do get a lot for what it is. It's also kind of cool that movement is set all from the center crown.
That's right.
So no pusher. So they do that not to compromise the sport integrity of the watch. But
yeah, so that's one thing.
You have to kind of love the look of that dial, because you either you live with it or you die
polarizing.
With it.
It's, I can see that.
There's a lot to it.
So that's one thing, guys. If you here, one more close up here, you can see on the back side of the, on the side of this case, there are no nipples for for changing the changing any of the time, the date, the moon phase, nothing. It's all set with one crown right here.
Which also means you're gonna have to pay attention to what you're doing.
Yeah,
it's not set a particularly easy watch to set. It is if you know what you're doing.
Super easy. Just literally just moving through the dates. But if you go past the date, the problem is you can't go backwards. So you just got to let it sit.
So if you accidentally set that to 2027,
yeah, then you're sending it back to IWC. Exactly. And it's very expensive for them to fix that. But if you're careful setting it, literally it just moves forward. I've already set this fully. I should have. I would love to move it forward, but I can't because I don't want to set it in the future. But it's already totally set. Literally just moving this crown in the second position. So, yeah, there you go. And actually, we have both these watches, obviously, in stock. That's why we have them here. Both listed for literally the same price, $10,950, which is, you know, roughly the market for each of these watches. So you can see, you know, what you get for you know, roughly $10,000 on a pre-owned basis. You can get, you know, from a little better manufacturer, you'll get a JLC diving chrono, or from a lesser-known manufacturer in terms of, like, the level of manufacturing or their the finishing level, finishing and in-house movements, IWC, but you get more value in my opinion, based on the
complication. It's also uncommon to have an IWC that's that complicated, whereas it's more common to have a JLC that's that complicated.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny, the two picks, because you would think that they'd be vice versa.
Yeah.
But
it's true. Yeah, all right, guys, so go ahead and vote. What are the early results here?
Pull up the poll.
Let's see. All right. And hey,
it's pretty close.
It's I'm still losing ones.
Yeah, but you're losing with dignity.
Let me go ahead and vote for myself on another on my phone. All right, guys. So keep voting during the show, and we'll try to remember to come back and show the results, as we always forget, tend to forget. All right. So keep voting, and we'll check back. All right, guys. So today's show, the meat of the show, we want to talk about a few things. First, something we haven't touched on in a few weeks, you know, current market of things. Things are kind of the same. They've been the same. One thing that we have seen is the Rolex GMTs.
Yes.
They've kind of hit the market. So the rose gold, the two-tone, and the steel. Jason, what have we been seeing with those watches?
So we've seen several of each.
Mm-hmm.
So first analysis for me is they're not as hard to get as we thought they were going to be.
Which
in
ones?
The two-tone and the rose gold.
Okay.
We've seen a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
The Pepsi, if I'm not mistaken, we've had one, and it went pretty quick. So
the Pepsi, sold in a day.
It sold in a day. We had one. I think we have maybe one on the hook, something like that. But we're not getting them a lot. We've had three root beer two tones, and I think we've had two of the rose golds. They've also sold pretty quick. But those two models, which I guess we kind of knew were going to be a little bit more readily available than the steel,
precious metal, man,
still are getting some demand.
Yeah.
So the two-tone root beers, they're selling for right around 18,
sure,
somewhere in there, which is, you know, probably about $1,000 higher than I expected, but but pretty
still
steady.
Over retail, cause still over retail. Still over retail. 14,000 or so.
Yeah, and the gold pieces are they sold relatively quickly too. Yeah. I think there's a lot
right
of demand.
Right at retail, pre-owned.
I think that the rose, I mean, the two-tone is pretty, but I think that the rose is too light.
Sure.
And the all rose gold one is just polarizing next to the two-tone. It's much nicer,
really,
in my opinion. Yeah. So I put them next to each other, And I was just like, and I'm not a gold watch type of guy per se, but it just, it really is much nicer.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so the two-tone, the Pepsi Steel, I saw it when it came in, and I got it. I mean, I hate to bust bubbles, and I know if you guys are on the list, you're going to buy it anyways, and because of what it is, but it just didn't do it for me. I got to say, it was kind of left me a little bit wanting, in the same way that the Tudor kind of left me a little wanting. Like, sure. I feel like the color mark is missed a little bit. I know some guys are talking about that too, but I was ready to put that aside. Say, even if the colors aren't exact, when I see it in person, if it really just captures me, then it's worth it, right? Because the watch has to be polarizing.
Sure.
I don't know. I mean, what did you think when you first saw it?
Yeah, I felt the same way. I have a couple issues. Well, number one, out of the three new GMTs that Rolex released, the two-tone is where it's at for me. Yeah. I think that watch is going to end up being a special watch moving forward. I think that's going to end up being coveted. It's not as hard to get, obviously, as the all-stainless and the all rose precious metal Rolexes are never going to be too hard to find.
Sure.
But I think out of the three, the two tones are going to be the one that people really remember and love. So the Jubilee bracelet, I like the Super Jubilee with one issue. Having the sport clasp on the Super Jubilee, it misses the mark for me, right? I understand it's a GMT watch, so it's a sport watch. So I guess that's the reason why they did it. But, they're doing that with the new – they're putting that same clasp with the new Datejust, I believe, too.
Yeah.
So they need to do, in my opinion, is a hidden clasp for the new Super Jubilee. That'll be a huge upgrade, number one. Number two, the colors on the dial, yes, they missed the mark a little bit. The watch is – sorry, that's what I meant. Yeah. On the bezel, it's not as stark as it should be. That being said, the watch is still in super high demand. It's a $9,800 watch, give or take. And they're selling pre-owned for $21,000 secondary market, easily.
Right.
How long do I think they're going to sell that at that price? I think it's not going to hold as long as some of the other watches have been. So, the Daytona has been, 2 years now?
Going strong on two and a half years.
I mean, it had its ups and downs. Right now, it's kind of at the top of the market again. That's a better watch than the GMT, in my opinion.
The 43mm?
Yeah.
Went real strong and is still strong.
That's right.
Love that watch. So the main thing is, I fear that it's really hot because of just the demand.
Sure.
I don't know how many people are buying that watch and just absolutely love it.
Sure.
I think it was all
people are flipping.
You know, a lot of flipping. So I feel like it will be a retail watch within the next year or so.
Yeah. I'm not going to go that far. I don't think within 12 months you're going to see a stainless Pepsi. At retail, I think that eventually it should come down probably like the mid-teens for a while. I think that the Daytona really set the mark for a lot of these watches. But the point is this. If you're going to spend $21,000 on a new stainless Rolex, like a sport watch, I'd go for a white dial Daytona, honestly. I think that's a better buy, and that's going to be a better store of value.
I guess. If it has to be stainless, yes. But if I'm going to spend $20,000, I'm going to go buy the white gold the white gold Pepsi.
Yeah.
It's a much nicer piece.
That's bumped up too, though. You're finding that mid to high 20s
I agree with
now.
You, but if you're going to spend the money anyways.
I agree.
You know, there's more value proposition there. And we always talk about the market and value proposition. So between just bouncing it off you, I wouldn't buy that Pepsi Steel at Rolex. Value orientation aside, doesn't matter what the secondary market is. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't own that watch if there wasn't an upside for $9,800.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, that's it is your, what it is. That's why I kind of think year and a half, you're going to see them drop. You know, it might not be retail, but the secondary market's probably be one or two over.
Well, the speculators are really the ones who are buying it now. But you know what? When the Daytona came out, that's kind of how we felt too, but it stuck. So,
that's true.
But it creates value plays for other watches. So if we're going to stick with Rolex and talk about those things, then the precious metal GMT, so a yellow gold GMT is now a value play. The Pepsi white gold GMT is a value play. The a yellow gold or a white gold Submariner also value. And then
Smurf.
The Smurf is it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful watch.
That's a great watch. The gold Daytonas, solid gold Daytonas on a bracelet. Yeah. There's not a huge difference between the a steel Daytona and a solid gold Daytona on a bracelet now. The Gulf is much less than it should be.
Yeah.
So if it's my money, I'd rather put it into something like that. You know, being a little bit closer to the retail price. And but for me, I think we talked about it before. The Explorer 2, 42 millimeter. That's a good place to buy, because you're going to buy that at below retail right now for a stainless steel Rolex. And I don't know if it'll ever go above retail, but you should be able to get them pre-owned below retail. And the an all-steel pre-ceramic Daytona white dial, I think that's where it's at. You can pick up those for the in the middle, mid-teens or so. Right. And I think the watches are unbelievable. You're going to see a lot of people going back to those watches, number one, because they're more accessible. Number two, because it's a discontinued Rolex and more people are going to realize that. And number three, because I think it's a little bit – it's a little nicer, in my opinion.
I like the non-ceramic better. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've seen the market on the non-ceramics come up with the ceramics as well.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of guys are starting to look back at value proposition like we talk about even with other brands. But it's like, if I can't get this for so long and I'm going to spend X amount of money anyways, what are the alternatives? So, yeah, I mean, definitely a point.
Clive with the comment saying that that you and I are speculating about the speculators. And that's true. I mean, it's
what we do.
That's all we do. We speculate on speculation with speculators and speculator.
Speculative.
Almost got that one. So white gold Zenith Daytonas right now are $20,000. So that's what Matt Forster said that, and that's true. You can find a white gold, a precious metal Zenith Daytona, for less than you can find a steel Zenith Daytona. Yeah. Steel Zenith Daytonas are $25,000.
Listen, it's a luxury industry, right? So it's all about what you can justify spending the money on.
Exactly.
So if you find it cool and you dig that, like going back and finding more for your money,
right,
then that speaks to you, mm-hmm, then that's what you're going to do. And if you're the guy that has to have what's hot and what's out right now, and it's just the newest, hottest thing, then you're going to spend the money on it. And I mean,
so that kind of goes into the next topic that we want to focus on today.
For that segue.
Yeah, that was good, man. So based on collecting and having a direction for your collection, so Dr. Seuss now. All right, yeah. So I got an email from a guy named Daniel B. He wrote, "Hey guys, I've been collecting for about 4 years without any real direction. I've been buying what I like at the moment and have a bunch of random watches, many that I don't wear as much. I've been thinking about a more targeted form of collecting and maybe brand specific or model specific. What are your thoughts on this type of collecting and where should I start?" So right now, a lot of guys are chasing what's hot, right? Because there's an upside to it and, you know, there's a little bit of a thrill being able to get something that everyone's chasing, right? I'd say at this point, it might not be the best way to go. I'd say that, you know, chasing the market is going to end up being, you know, a letdown, because once you are sick and tired of that watch, you go to sell it 2, 3, 4 years down the road, and now the mania stopped. Now the watch is worth much less than you paid for it, and you didn't really love it in the first place. You wanted it because everybody else wanted it, right? So we were talking about this. Jason and I were talking about this in the office about model-specific or brand-specific or just specific targeted type of collecting. So, you know, there's a few different ways you can go, and it's kind of interesting. You can kind of create yourself a roadmap. And I have guys, so I had a good customer out of D.C., and about 3 or 4 years ago, he decided he wanted to get in this type of collecting because he was like more of a random collector, just buying things that he saw when he was traveling, which he does a lot of. So he decided he was going to collect Daytonas, which was actually not a bad idea 4 years ago. So he wanted to get one of each era. So he got like a 6239.
Yeah.
So he went in through every era of Daytona and ended up with like 7 Daytonas from like early Daytonas, vintage Daytonas that went for crazy money, but are worth way more now, because 4 years ago, these things weren't as insane. Zenith Daytona. He got one of those. I think he paid like $12,000 for a stainless steel Zenith Daytona with box and papers.
Foreshadowing.
And then his last Daytona was he got a ceramic Daytona, which he paid over list for. But it just so happened that all of his Daytonas have gone up in value massively. So, you know, it worked out for him perfectly.
Far outweighing what he probably overpaid on the ceramic.
Exactly.
Far outweighing.
That's exactly right. He got lucky with that one. Yeah. But so what are your thoughts on picking like a specific model? And what models would you go for, say, if you wanted to today pick a specific model just to go, you know, ham on and go crazy with?
So I think, you know, looking back, obviously the guy bought these Daytonas at a pretty advantageous time.
Mm-hmm.
Got lucky. This is interesting because I have had this conversation with guys in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with this type of collecting. I find it pretty interesting. I tend to be the kind of guy that like wants to experience different watches and kind of merit for what they are, having, you know, a little bit of variety. But I definitely understand this. So coming from, you know, like whatever type of collecting you do,
mm-hmm,
the idea of collecting is narrowing down your interest, right? Refining your taste.
Yeah.
And I've touched on that a little bit before. So like when you're collecting something, you figure out what works for you and what doesn't work for you, kind of honing in on what you like.
Sure.
So
what would you pick? This like today, type if you were going to go into it and say, all right, I've got all this, I got all these watches, I got to trade them into something and just like do it like a more pointed or specific collection.
I think I would go with something very iconic, mm-hmm. and it would probably either be the Sub.
Okay.
Or possibly Speedmasters.
Speedmaster, okay.
Speedmasters are tricky though, because there's probably, you probably need like 75 of them.
That's right, but you know what? But, that's a long journey. That's
yeah, fun. I mean, that would take you years mm-hmm. to track them all down. Or like SKYs would be cool,
okay.
or Turtles.
Seikos. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see
like. Well, so with your Submariner, so then what you can get, like what, a 55-12, a 55-13, you can go get a 55-10.
How far back you want to go. Well, I mean, it's
and how
you can
much
go back
spend.
To like pre-bezeled subs, you know, like all the way back.
And you can end with, you can have a date and a no date sub in your right. collection, and that can complete, and you could have probably about 20
of them. I would have a Smurf, I would have a Solid Gold, yeah. I mean, it's
sell off a few of your weapons there.
Yeah, I'd have to sell my car. No, but it's definitely an interesting idea. I get the idea of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are plenty of guys that do this.
Sure.
But I would like to say, like, the first part of this conversation or email is also not a bad way to go, mm-hmm. because I think that this really helps you hone down on collecting and what you like and what you don't like.
Sure.
You know, sometimes making those mistakes as collectors mm-hmm. is the only way to get to the end where you know what you want, know sure. what you like, and yeah. like it because you like it, not because you're chasing what somebody else is chasing.
Yeah, that makes sense. I
sometimes
can agree with
you
that.
Gotta fall down to get back up.
Well, so that would be like the second step in being a collector, right? So you find watches and you realize, hey, I like to wear a nice watch, right? Then you start looking at watches and you decide what you like, and then, you know, maybe you're all over the place. Similar to me, we just showed our yeah. collections. My collection is without a doubt all over the place. You know, I have Panerai, I've had Omegas, obviously Bell and Ross, and just all over the place, right? I don't really have, right now, I don't have any specific targets, and
right.
I'm just buying what I like, and so I can say, okay, well, I've had this before, I've had that before. So, like, as for me, the next step would probably be going into like a more brand specific or model specific, you know, collecting. I'd say that down the road, what I would like to do is, because I started with divers, is try to get like a full array of iconic divers. So maybe a Sub.
I like that.
Right,
yeah.
Submariner, a Panerai, which I already have, so that could be my beginning. Right, I can go for my Panerai. So I have a Panerai, get a Seamaster. Right, so I pick the Seamaster that I love,
right.
then get, you know, a Sub, probably a no-date Sub makes sense. What else would be like an iconic diver, you think?
I mean, there's, do you want to go?
More.
Yeah, so, but I get the idea. I like the fact
U-boat.
That, so you're basically taking,
not that I'd recommend it, but it's a
don't
diver.
Buy a U-boat.
Something different.
Please avoid. That ship has been sunk.
What am I missing? Yeah.
So taking the idea of collecting something very iconic, but stepping back and kind of narrowing it down to a genre is what mm-hmm. you're saying. Like,
well, so even like say if we did chronographs. So obviously Speedmaster,
mm-hmm.
right? Maybe I'd get a 3714 IWC Portuguese chronograph.
You're definitely getting an El Primero Zenith.
El Primero Zenith. What's another iconic chronograph that
Daytona.
We can add to that? Okay, of course, Daytona. So that's four watches.
Right.
What else? Like, say we got to round it out, make it five watches. What would be the last one you'd add?
I'd say
iconic chrono.
Current gen BO1.
Okay, yeah, Breitling. Yeah, listen,
solid.
We don't really talk about collecting chronos before, but Breitling does chronographs probably more than anyone else. I don't know if we say better, but definitely more chronographs than anyone else. So you could do a Breitling BO1. You can get a Daytona. You'd have a Speedmaster in there. An IWC 3714 is a good piece. And what was the last one we said? Dead silence.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Memory
caught me off.
Memory
yeah.
of a goldfish. All right.
All
so,
right.
or like, what's another like pointed? So, obviously, we went through divers. We went
pilots
through
watches.
Yeah, you do pilots watches. So, like an IWC, a Big Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's you don't have too many there.
You
can
mean,
go as low down as like Stoa or something like that,
well,
or even as high as a Paddock.
5524.
That's right, a 5524. That's
or
your
22, your depending grill. On your taste, but and your budget.
Mm-hmm. Or
like, just buy all the Paddocks.
Car themed watches, so you could get Tag Carreras or Octavias or something like that. You can get then you can look at JLC Amvoxes, which are really cool.
There's a bunch of car watches.
Breitling
Bentleys.
There you go.
There's
not that I recommend
all kinds of.
Well, they
Daytona would
millimeter.
Also be a car watch.
Of course,
there's all kinds of. Basically, what we're saying is, if you like a theme, you can justify buying anything.
Well, yeah, but
so,
it gives you
just,
it gives you a roadmap, and I think that's a good way to go into things, because again, just buying what you like can get you in trouble, especially if you don't, if you have somewhat limited funds, and it's one way to collect, but I think that it'll get boring after a while too. And then you look around and like, well, so we went and visited a collector yesterday in New York City, right? Who was thinking about selling some watches. He's been collecting only for 2 years. Obviously has the means, but he had 50 Rolexes.
Yeah,
and
a lot
he just
of watches.
He was just buying what he liked. In fact, had like every variation of a 36 millimeter Rolex Day-Date that you could imagine. Just because
every
he liked
bezel
them.
Configuration and dial configuration, like, if but
every configuration, and just decided he looked around and realized, hey man, I have too many watches here.
Right. So, but the thing too is, doesn't like, wear as you look through his collection, like you start to see a theme.
Oh.
And for me, like looking through everything he had, I started to notice dial variants and stuff that when he's like, this is my favorite one of these three, mm-hmm. was always the same dial.
That's true.
So what that is like him honing in on what type of watch he likes to collect.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the type of guy that's not really hurting by making mistakes, though. So
Let's see here. Purity of Essence says the Breguet Type 20.
Type 20 is a fantastic watch. I personally like that 21 a little bit better, but it's just for me, I like the way it wears.
But that's a great piece to add to a chronograph collection. That makes a lot of sense, too. Or you can collect tourbillons and start with the Breguet.
Yeah, you can start with like $250,000 to $500,000 watches and go all the way back down to Seiko or like Swatch System 51s and just have them all.
Yeah, man.
But,
all right. Oh, so I think that concludes that.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically the gist of probably an hour conversation that we had on the train ride back from New York.
That's right.
So
makes a lot of sense.
You know, after we had that conversation, we were like, we should do the show on this.
Yeah.
Pre-written.
All minute repeaters. There you go. Go for that. Give me a call if you want to buy a bunch of minute repeaters.
Before we round out, though, I want to first pull up the poll one more time.
Yes, poll, please. Hey, I lost terribly here. 65-35% for those listening at home. So Jason JLC is beating me 65-35%. I will bribe a few people on my way home to see if I can get the win by the end of the night. And just because the show's over doesn't mean the poll's over.
That's
or the
true.
Poll closes. It is open in perpetuity, guys.
Similar to the fact that we had you guys send us pictures for this Watch World contest.
That's
and
right.
And we have been receiving emails all the way up until about three and a half minutes before the show.
Thanks, Eddie.
Eddie Landsberg with a last-minute slide into home.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we
announce
give this
the winner. All right, guys. So drum roll, please. Boom. All right. So the winner this week is Matt Forster with the awesome State of His Collection shot. And listen, guys, I appreciate everybody. We got, I don't know, probably 200.
Easily.
Yeah.
Probably 200 a piece.
Yeah, we got a lot of them.
It was a lot.
So a lot of guys were just sending us pictures of what's in their watch box, all neat and cozy up in there. And while there was a lot of really amazing collections, some more high-end and some lower-end than what Matt has here, Matt has a good cross-section. Also, we just like the picture.
Yeah,
that's
kind
what
of,
it was more
you know
about
what it,
for me.
You know what it is? Is there wasn't it wasn't like a random.org. It wasn't un... As we were kind of looking through these emails and picking something and the way that this was shot kind of spoke to us.
Yeah, it was beautiful. So, and hold on, let's see here. Let me pull up Matt's email, and I'm going to read you guys a little description of what he sent in, because I think that's important. Let's see, Forster.
Yeah. We will not be sharing his email out loud.
Yeah. No, so he's got an Omega Speedmaster Schumacher Legend Edition. He's got a Glashütte Original Sport Evolution Chrono. You can see it there in the top right. A Ulysse Nardin Classic Dual Time. So that's a cool watch. That's also a tremendous value play, too, because you get a lot of watch for the money, especially pre-owned. It's got something close to my heart, the Parmigiani Tunda. This is the Quater Annual Calendar Retrograde Date. Another amazing value play. The watch is absolutely gorgeous, and it's like a cross between a sport and a dress watch. It's just like an oversized sport
definitely
watch.
Definitely a
dress watch. Yeah, a perfect watch for me. A watch that would certainly lose in this hat, though. Maybe I'll pick it next week. He's got the JLC Amvox. This is a Paris Boutique Edition. It's only 24 pieces. Super cool watch. A watch that, that Tim loves,
yeah,
without a doubt. And then he's got an amazing watch, and watch that he might have gotten from us, a 5961A, the 00 or the 010 dial, the black dial, which was a 1 year run. Unbelievable piece. That's a piece that I believe will become very collectible
over
time.
That's the only watch that in this photo the photo doesn't do it justice.
Yeah. And like, the last one I want to make sure we shout it out because it was an inherited watch from him, was a Benhaus Automatic. It was his grandfather's watch. It's about 60 years old.
Very cool.
Yeah. Really, really cool. Thank you so much for sending in all your submissions, guys. I will, if you follow me on social media, I'll probably go ahead and post all the submissions that I had, or some of them, the ones that I like. On my Instagram story, you can find that on Mr. Thanos, at Mr. Thanos. You have an Instagram also, don't you?
I do. EvoX4B11.
Right.
Okay. Very easy to find. Still you just search EvoX4B11.
Yeah, super easy.
Send me a DM. Let's talk watches. Okay. Either one of us. I kind of dug the idea that the show is based off a question from a viewer.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys have kind of topics, suggestions that you like us, you know, we're always looking for ideas, things to discuss. Sure, and a lot of the questions that we get on a daily basis, we've had these discussions between us. So, you know, send us an email. Send me a DM on Instagram, Josh, too.
Mm-hmm.
If you have questions, if you have topics that maybe you think that we should reach that we haven't, open to suggestions. I mean, you can hit us Facebook,
yep.
Right? Instagram. You can listen to the podcast now.
That's so right.
Maybe podcast stars. Yeah,
MySpace, LinkedIn,
yeah.
Friendster, Grubhub, iTunes,
what are we
Spotify,
doing Grubhub?
Pandora. What else?
YouTube's where it started, so you can.
Oh, yeah, reach YouTube also. YouTube. Yeah, but just go ahead and subscribe everywhere you can. Go ahead and subscribe. And maybe Napster. Download us on Napster also, guys.
I don't know if that works.
LimeWire, maybe?
Doesn't work anymore.
You guys remember
sure.
any of that stuff?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
The AOL dial up on that was. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, go ahead cool, and do man. That.